Hey everybody, my name is Brett Pierce and welcome to episode number one of my brand new podcast, Nova Scotia Hidden Gems, a music podcast. Hey all you listeners out there, thanks so much for tuning in with me. I'm real excited to be recording the very first episode of my new original podcast, Nova Scotia Hidden Gems, a music podcast. And I'm pumped beyond pumped because today we're starting off with not so much of a hidden gem, just a gem. We're going to be interviewing Andre Petipaw from Andre Petipaw and the Giants. So how you doing, man?
Good, man. Good to hear from you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah, it's, and especially with all this COVID crap going on, it's been wild, man. It's been
never
a rocky
get to
ride.
Cross paths.
Yeah, no.
Some are usually cross paths at a bar or some other place.
I was gonna
that
say,
has
man,
live
I,
music usually.
I can't remember if it was the Hitch or the Groundswell that I seen you last, but
one of those, for sure. There was none of that this summer.
No, exactly, man. So why don't we start off, and I'll just get you to give the listeners a little bit about yourself if they haven't heard of you before.
Cool. So my name is Andre Petipaw. I've been playing music since I was 12 years old. So I've got 17 years of dungy bars and driving in bands and all that fun stuff. And just set to put out our sophomore album and had 35 dates across Canada ready for the summer to prepare for the album. And then, I don't know, the world decided to shut down for some reason.
What a bummer, man. Holy.
We kept the high hopes going and just released a new tune with John Angus McDonald from The Trues producing it. And it's gaining some traction. We hit top 40 on the mainstream rock charts in Canada. So we're just trying to play some shows here and there when we can. We had a couple canceled because of the recent COVID outbreaks, but live music is struggling right now. And that's something that we're trying to focus on bringing back. And these podcasts and everything else like that, that's helping out, trying to keep music in the spotlights. It's keeping a little bit of hope in this darkness for us right now.
Absolutely, man. And I think that's like, that is the main goal of kind of my main goal anyway. And hopefully a lot of people's main goals from around Nova Scotia, because we have literally, man, I've been a musician here for 16 years. And it is, there's some of the greatest talent. Like, we have world-class talent here, man. And they just needed an opportunity to be, you know, to be shown. So
no, definitely. It's a tough market because radio isn't as widespread here. I mean, you've got your stations that they promote like hell. It's amazing. They have the local talent being spread on their stations, and it's just other stations across the world. It's like, it's hard to get that local talent on them. So it's a tough battle in the East Coast to go further than that. And I think once people start realizing the talent on the East Coast, they'll be more happy to share it with the world.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more. And so let's just kick into the early days, because I'm curious, and like, as my perspective of growing up in rural Nova Scotia and trying to kind of make it as a musician, like, I'd like to get other people's kind of point of view on that. So how did you find it growing up as a young man trying to make it in the music biz in Nova Scotia?
So I started playing at 12, as I was saying, and it was just a couple of friends. We decided on that rather than skateboarding. We picked up both hobbies in the summer of grade 7 going into grade 8. And then that was the first time playing in a band, and I haven't stopped since. I mean, at the early days, it was playing in Battle of the Bands and playing at your local Legions. But as I progressed and as we got older, like after years of graduating, and we started playing all the local haunts. You got your local bars, and then you want to keep stretching outward. So, of course, you set up a maritime tour, and then you got a couple people showing up your shows. Some nights you pay money to play. Some nights you actually make money. And I think that's the hardest thing, is strategizing. And if you do that at a younger age, you'll be more prepared for when you actually want to use this as a business and you're not just a hobbyist anymore. So I think the most important thing as a musician starting out is to enjoy it, but make a plan while you're doing it. Don't just fly off the cuff, and don't be drunk when you're playing.
Yeah, that's a big one, man. And you'd be surprised.
Yeah, man. It's like a lot of people don't take it serious. And I think that's one of the reasons why live music has kind of been suffering at some venues, because the quality hasn't been there, because people are going in sloshed, not playing at their full capacity. And it's like, we got to take this a little more seriously. And it's hard for people that are actually out there investing so much time and money into it when you got people out there just drunkenly screaming songs.
Absolutely. And for those listeners out there, like, these venues, they do notice. Like, they definitely notice these things. Like, if you're slosh and you're missing words and you're not making any sense, like, these venues are definitely going to notice that.
Yeah, and, like, you're not going to get a call back if you're at a venue that's, you know what I mean? They're hiring bands 4 to 7 times a week, and you go in and you don't show up. It's like, well, there goes your chance. And word travels very quickly in the music industry. So it's best to be on top of your game and try to keep other bands' names out of your mouth if you're not going to say anything positive, because that spreads too. I think the more community-based you are in the musical industry, it's the better it is, because we're all in the same goal, trying to make a living off being a musician.
Absolutely, man. And like, I just to touch on that point a little bit more, like, we are all, like you said, we're all doing the same thing, we're all grinding towards the same goal, so we have to have each other's back, man. We're a teammate, we're a family. So it's
totally, man.
Yeah, it's I just couldn't agree more with that one. So
yeah, like, over the last few years, I've noticed a lot more of my musician friends, like, sharing contacts from other venues, and especially with CB Mike. I joined them last year, and they've been nothing but supportive and wanting to help out. And we just did a songwriter series with them, I think, 2 weeks ago. And like I said, they showed up, they're professional, and they're willing to help. They've got the resources. They just want to make sure you're serious about the music and you're willing to put the work in.
Which is great, and that's exactly what musicians need. Because I mean, you grow up as a musician. I'm sure you have a side gig, but like, you're broke, man. You have no money to be putting towards
wasting
anything, right? Like, towards recording or producing or advertising or any of these things, right? So it's
exactly like, yeah. Myself, and I do sheet metal as my day job, and I haven't used any of the money I made from music in the last years for anything like personal gain. It's been reinvested back into the band, because we invested almost a good figure on our upcoming album. And it's like, everything we made in the last 2 years as a band has just went to pay that stuff off. And we were supposed to be paying the full thing off this summer with a bunch of live gigs. And of course, we had to cancel most of them.
Yeah.
And it's just been lying on the line of credit for a while. And like, when something like that happens, it's not a quick response.
Yeah. Man, COVID.
But I think we're on the upswing of it. We got to... people are planning for summer for gigs and festivals, because the vaccine has made its way into the world. And for me, shove about 20 of them into my neck if you need to. Like, I'm ready for the world to move on.
It is. It's so weird to walk out and just not be weirded out by people wearing masks anymore. I noticed that the other day I was in the store.
I know.
I just found it so normal to have people surrounding me wearing masks. I'm like, okay, this is life now.
I'm at the point where I'm watching like movies and stuff, and there's a bunch of people in the room. I'm like, man, there's way too many people in there. Where's their masks? It's kind of strange to be normalized into that right now.
Absolutely, man. It's wild. So back into like your career, I guess, because I want to get as much dirt out of you as I can while I got you.
Totally.
So I'm just curious on like defining moments, like in your point of view for your career, because I can think of a couple personally where I was like, damn, there he is, man. There's Andre. Like, he's doing the damn thing.
So a couple of major events for me, I was working out in Alberta for a couple of years, and then I came home for the holidays. I was working on a tune called Long Way From Home, and I wrote that on a day off, and I came home for the holidays and I had a brain virus. I had 3 seizures the day after I got home, so that put
Holy
me
shit.
On my ass for 6 months, and that's what kind of really, for me, focused myself on my musical career. This would be 6 years ago now, so that's when it kind of was like, okay, I got to put my full effort into this, because I don't know when, how long I'm going to last, because that almost knocked me into my grave.
Holy man,
so that
what
was
a story.
Yeah, that was what set the musical career off into overdrive, so we released a couple singles at the time, and then we, like I was saying, that Long Way From Home song with Ashley McCosick really helped me get, I guess, focus on the career And then the year after we were, or it was that same year, sorry, we were finalists in the Nova Scotia Artists in Residence at the Casino Nova Scotia. So that was cool. And then the following year, we showcased in Toronto for Indie Week, and then we won the Q104 Homegrown Challenge, which gave us money towards building our career. So we used that as an industry demo. We recorded 4 tracks and began shopping it out. We went and showcased in Sweden, which was another really cool thing. And it's really nice to see the world outside of Canada and gigging there. It's basically just expanding your knowledge in the music industry and trying to get those contacts and stay in touch. And that trip for me, I've made probably 20 to 50 contacts that I keep in touch with, whether it's people that's working for magazines or distribution or even festivals. Like, we've got a couple of spinoffs from that. And that was a big one. And then the following year was Jim Beam Talent Search. We won that in Halifax. And then that same thing, we were sent to Toronto. And that helped us out with something that I can't talk about just yet, but that was a stem off that we were supposed to be announcing a big announcement this year, and things kind of shut down. So we're sitting on some big news right now, and with the next few months rolling out, we're going to start rolling it out. We can't really wait too much longer. We've been holding off almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like moments like that, I've always been a competitor. I started playing music at age 12, but I started playing sports at age 4. So I've always liked the competition, and I always liked trying to better myself every day, not as much as competing with others. But if you're better than you were the day before, then that's a step in the right direction. And it's a constant battle to get better and improve in many different aspects. And I think that's what music is so important to me, because there's so many aspects, and it's your image, it's your playability, it's how you present yourself. And if you have that and you're constantly trying to work on yourself, it's good to keep your mind focused on the greater good rather than focusing on stuff that might bring you down.
No doubt, man. No doubt. And it is one of those things, man. It's a way of life, right? It's,
yeah,
it's holistic, like you were saying. And like,
yeah,
so you started gaining all that traction. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, man.
So you were gaining all that traction, and you were heading out of country, going to Sweden. Like, what was that like when you first, like, really, like, you got that hint of, oh damn, like I'm making it, I'm going to play in front of big crowds, and I'm going to do my thing?
Well, it was really cool, because it's like you've seen bands start to do that, and it's like, okay, this is where they really start making their mark. And it's an investment, and a lot of people that don't really have a grasp on the music industry, they think people are out making money. They're spending probably $200,000 before they even do anything, make any progress with their band most times. And sometimes that's a label helping you out. Sometimes that's any investment you made. But you got to make sure it goes to, like, the greater good. Like I was saying, I was going to Sweden. That cost quite a bit of money, because we had to have our hotels and whatnot. But it's like, how am I ever going to get another chance to go? It's like, let's make this one count. And it was so fluky. We were releasing a song called The Swedish Motel that summer.
Yeah.
And that was not even connected to the Sweden trip. So I've got the email for the invite to the festival, and I was like, what? I was like, we're just about to release a song in 2 months that's called The Swedish Motel. So I was like, okay, this got to be some kind of sign. So we ended up recording the music video while we were there. And at the end of the show, it was our last night there. We had, I think it was 10 other Canadian bands that were there. We had them all join us on the stage for the final song. It was cool to see everyone in their different places from across the country. It's like, okay, we're all on the stage together now in Sweden playing our music. And it's just like, all we did was we all started playing in the basement and had that common goal together. And now we're doing this. And it's those moments that, I guess, kind of keep you pushing along.
Absolutely, man. Those are the things that you'll remember, right? And it's a career defining moment. So
totally, man. And I find just seeing these new places and meeting the people from there, everyone has the same guess, common goal. And the better you treat people, the better things will be. It's like, there's no need to be an arrogant asshole, and you'll run into those people. And that's just the people that, you know, it's like, oh, I don't really want to be a part of this. Like, we try to surround ourselves with as many positive people as we can. Of course, you're not going to be able to be fully positive all the time. But if, like, the stuff that went on this last year and a half, it's like, if you let yourself sink away and start going downhill because of this, it's like, you're not going to sustain your musical career because there's so many ups and downs. It's a matter of playing the cards you're dealt. It's, you're not always going to give a good card, but play it right and keep finding ulterior motives and keep pushing along.
Absolutely, man. It's all about, yeah, like you said, it's all about just being able to put into it what you already have, right? Like, you can't put in more than you have, so.
No, totally. And like we were saying, like, the musical industry, you got to be kind of a chameleon. You got to adapt because you make a plan and, like we were saying, the world shuts down. So you got to adapt, make another new plan. And it's constantly just adapting to what you're dealt. And that's one of the fun things about live gigs too, going to venues. It's like, yeah, we got a PA, we got a backline, everything. You go there, they've got a drum kit that doesn't even tune, no hi-hat clutch, an amp that should not even turn on, and a PA that should be just left in the rehearsal room. So it's that kind of thing. It's like, okay, what are we getting into today? And I'm the kind of person that likes to be at a gig 10 hours early so that I'm ready for this stuff, because there's been too many times where you go in and it's like, we're playing through this.
Yeah, no, that is just, I like that. I've never heard that before, the musical chameleon. No, that's funny, because yeah. So often it is. And honestly, and like, not to bust on a lot of these venues, because honestly, like, all the venues that I play, and I know you probably have great things to say about a lot of the venues that you play.
Mm-hmm.
But like, music did, like you were saying, like, music kind of had a falling out for a little bit. Like, I know a lot of the places around my hometown, like, a lot of their gear is not as new. It's not as good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just another strain on the musician to have to, like, pick up that kind of slack if they want to have a worthwhile, notable performance, right? So,
no, 100%. Like, for us, the last probably, since we started the band, we reinvested money right away into buying a good PA, good equipment, and most gigs having our consistent sound guy with us, because at the front ground should be your product. And like, this is why I love my band, because we're not in it instantly for the money, and we're not in it for making any money from the show. It's like, okay, at first we got to make sure our product is out there and it's good, and then we go from that. Like, obviously you want to make some money from this, but if you don't have a good product, you're gonna play a couple shows and you're just gonna fizzle out. It's like, your reputation's on the line every time you hit the stage.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You gotta be ready for everything. And I couldn't agree more with you there.
Yeah, it's a strange demon, this musical career. It's got so many good parts, so many bad parts, but I think just the drive is what keeps you alive and the greater good.
Honestly, man, because I'll tell you, I don't think anybody that isn't just in love with playing music is out there grinding, you know, 14 hours a day every day, staying up nights trying to do home recordings, and you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, like, at the beginning of this pandemic, I had probably a month to myself just to record and demo songs and do fun covers of songs. I was like, okay, I'll never have the chance to do this or time. So it's like, I sat in my music room and recorded some Eminem covers, and it's like, I've got to play every instrument on them and have fun with it. I think that's when listening comes in. It's like, okay, I didn't hear that in that song before. And the production for me has been a big thing over the last year. I've been really analyzing music in every different genre. It's like, okay, this is cool, this is added in this style of music, and that's what really pushes it. Percussion, oh god, that was a really cool way to do things. So I think giving us this time to really work on our own musical abilities and musical production has been, it's a blessing, really, that we had time to further our knowledge in the musical backgrounds.
Yeah, man, it's good to look at it that way too, because like you said, it's good to put a positive spin on it, because not a lot of people would be able to stay positive and keep on trying to be productive through these kinds of things, right? So,
no, definitely not. If you're like I said, like, if you're not trying to improve yourself, you're just wasting your own time. We had all this time to get better, so that when the world opens up, it's like, okay, these guys have been putting in work, And that's what these people at festivals want to see. They want to see growth. And I see a lot of bands like rebranding and changing their whole background. But for me, it's like, I want the people that have been with me since I could not hold a note to see what that progress has been like. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'll go and I'll delete some YouTube videos that I'm like, I probably shouldn't have put that up. But I mean, some of the old posters and some of the old photos, it's like, was I really wearing that on stage? But it's cool to see how much you start looking at your product in a different angle. It's like, okay, now we got an image. Let's keep with this image, and people notice that. So it's like the part of the growth is one of the best things for me. And I seen a band, the Glorious Sons, when they first released Mama back in 2013, 2014. And it's like, God, these guys, now they got a couple of Junos this year. They had number one in Canada and in America, but I've seen them play in front of 50 people. And I was like, that night is like, I know these guys are going somewhere. They're incredible. The stage energy and the songs are great. Same thing with the Eric Hells when I seen them for the first time, probably 12 years ago, maybe. And it's just, it's those defining moments in your own career of noticing other bands. It's like, okay, these guys got something special. And I think if you go to a venue and you notice that right away, you know which guys are in it for the long run. You know which people have the passion, and then the people that are just up there to make a couple bucks and move on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about that quality control, man. You got to put in the time. You got to stay consistent with your brand and your product.
Yeah.
Because it is offering a service. You're offering a product, right? Like it's...
100%, man. And another big thing is connecting with your audience. During the start of this, I went live every weekend. I just did like sitting on my computer, playing some acoustic songs, chatting with the people that would come swing by. And that like thoroughly helped me when it went back to performing live. It was like, okay, now I just feel like I'm in a living room again. I feel like I can just hang out with the audience when before it was like some nights I'd go on stage and the show would be done and I didn't say a word. And I'm kind of taking the time to really see to try and make people laugh in the audience or just try and capture them. And I think that's an important thing to do for any musician that wants to connect with their fan base.
Absolutely. Because at the base of it all, right, like we all started just playing to that one or two people. Or, you know what I mean? That empty room. When we go out there and do our thing, man, we should be playing every single show. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like there's 1,000 people there,
like
but even if there's one, right? Exactly. Like we got to be doing our best for every single show, for even for the one person that's in that room.
No, exactly, man. Because in the end of the day, that's that person that was there is going to be like, there might not have been people here, but this person has what it takes and they know what they're doing. It's just an off night for the crowd kind of thing. And that's definitely the way that I approach any live performance. And if you're not there to try and be better for the crowd, be better for yourself, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. You're just full of knowledge, dude. This is a great opportunity.
I've been doing it for quite a bit. So I've known how to get through a lot of the different situations. Like we were saying earlier, going into rooms with nobody, going to rooms that are packed. It's like, okay, this musical chameleon, let's go again. And that's the fun of it all. And I don't like, as weird as it is, I don't like consistency in the musical realm, because it's the fun thing about it is trying to adapt and it's trying to find new ways to interest people. And it's like, okay, I didn't think of that. And if you can try and find a positive swing with anything negative, it's like your brain's going to be on your side rather than beating yourself up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like music, man, it's vast. It's massive. And like you said, like you're the creator, you're the entertainer. You know what I mean?
You make the rules. Yeah,
exactly. You can be as wild or as tame as you want to be. And at the end of the day, like you're the one that has all the creative rights to whatever you're doing.
No, exactly, man.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, without it, I think the world would be pretty dull. And I think a lot of people have been noticing during the pandemic that the musicians have been keeping people up with the live streams. And I mean, the shows that we had going, I mean, they're smaller because capacity now, but people coming out to shows I've found have had a greater appreciation. And it's people going out that actually want to listen to the band's playing or the performer playing. Mm-hmm. And I find that the quality is getting better, and just overall general, people are more appreciative of people in the service industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a long time coming, right? So
yeah,
it sucks that it had to take a world pandemic to get it going, but like,
no, exactly. And I'm just hoping that, like these venues and these restaurants can stay open to like financially to when we get back on our feet full time to be still open, because I mean, everybody's taking a hit during this, and for us to lose all these venues is horrible, especially around Canada. Ontario's hit horribly. Toronto closed probably close to 20 venues during this. So I'm just hoping there's an upswing once it's back to normal. People go out and they support this live music. That's the only thing that I'm really worried about now, is what are we going to go back to once it's full time?
Yeah. And I mean, fear of the unknown, right? Like we,
no, exactly.
I'm staying optimistic, because I like to think that just from what I've been seeing too, like when I play live, like you said, like people just love it. They crave it. They're missing that sense of normalcy and just being able to go out to a bar and have a few drinks and listen to a musician, or just get up on the dance floor and dance, right? Like they miss that. So
yeah, oh my God. When we're able to dance again, this is going to be really cool. Yeah. So yeah, when we play live, I've got a wireless system, so I'll just throw my bandana over my face and I'll run around. I feel bad for the other people that just have to sit, and it's like, shit, I wish you guys would be able to dance with us and have fun. But for it's me coming. To be able to just run around in a bar, it's like, okay, I'll get used to this again soon.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think now might be a great time to jump into a tune. So why don't you tell us what you're going to be playing for us first?
So first, we'll see how this goes acoustically, but this one is our latest single called Sympathy Card. We had John Angus from The Truths produce it, and he actually played slide guitar on the track, and we had a good friend, Jesse Brown, do some backing vocals on it, and it's been fun trying to find creative ways with this release. We were supposed to play at the Derby in Halifax in early December. So that's the marquee, and we were going to be recording our music video then, but we had to postpone it because of the recent outbreak. But when the new year comes and we've got those cases back down to close to zero, we're going to do a little mulligan and finish the recording of the video. But we're going to see how it sounds acoustically now.
Unreal. All right, let's do it.
All this faith, it's gonna take some time. Will you wait for me? That was me just a few short years ago. Compose you slowly, seeping out my window. Stop playing the sympathy card and you'll be left empty-handed, out on an island like a castaway stranded. Stop playing the sympathy card, cause I can hardly stand it. Playing the sympathy card, cause the only wasn't an invitation for conversation. Open your ears, not close. Good advice ain't free. Infamy is an awful fate. You wanna set something? Set the record straight. Stop playing the sympathy card and you'll be left empty-handed, out on an island like a castaway stranded. Stop playing the sympathy card, cause the dream.
Unreal. Holy man, that voice. And that's something, like, I'm a person who loves powerful vocals.
Thanks, man.
Dude, whew. Unreal. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. That was fun. I hope I didn't peak the audio too much. But it'll sound decent anyway.
It was looking real good. Real, real good. And it sounded great. So no worries there, dude. Cool. All right. You ready to jump back into it?
Yep. Cool. Wicked. Good to go.
Cool, man. Thank you so much. That was unreal.
Thanks,
so
man.
I think that's a great time to jump into Sympathy Card, because that is one of your latest bangers that you've been that's been playing on the radio.
Yeah, man. It's been really cool. Like, my favorite band growing up was the Trues. They're like hometown Antigonish County guys. And when I met up with John Angus in Toronto, we were at Canadian Music Week. And I had emailed him a couple weeks before that, sending him some demos of tunes. He's like, I told him we're going to be in Toronto. He's like, yeah, man, let's meet up and chat. So we went to this venue. We had the night off. We were just networking that day. And we went over and checked out a band called Brother Elsie, which John Angus was kind of checking out that night. And Jay from the Glorious Sons actually manages that band. So we were chatting with them. And I told John Angus, like you've produced a track. You see, he was game for it. So it was about 6 months later we began working on it, and a year to that date when we released it. So it's been a long time of waiting and having the product and just finding the right way to put it out. So we have a radio team that we hired for this release. And I know I won't be going back to not having one, because that expertise they have and the network they have has helped us focus on doing the promotional side from our graphic design and working on the product, not emailing people at radio stations and getting radio silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a really, really good point too. Because it's like we were saying, it's such a vast, you know, industry, and there's just so much to it, and there's so much, like, you need in some aspects, man, you're probably going to need some help. Like,
yeah, you need a team, and you need a team that's going to help you, and they want to help you, because there's so many people that just want to take your money, and you got to check out people's track records too. You're not just going to go in blindly and be like, okay, I'll get this person, hire this person, then see no productivity or anything like that. So I think work as hard as you can on your product, work as hard as you can independently, and then grow from that. Like, if you're going for your first release and you still have a lot of ways to grow, just do it by yourself. Like, for me, the first 5 years in the band is always just sending out the tracks individually to radio. And we had some moderate success on the East Coast and a couple features here and there. But it's like, I wanted to go push past that, and I want to do something bigger than that. And to take that next step, obviously, it's going to take a lot of financial backing. So you're starting your own, it's a business. It's take your money and invest it. And I don't want to be 50, 60 years old saying like, shit, man, now I just settled. And I didn't want to pursue my dream to the fullest. So I'm kind of trying to do that right now. It's just take everything you can and throw it all in.
Which is so hard, because it's a leap. It's a risk. And that's kind of what being a musician in 2020 has looked like. You got to just jump in head first and hope for the best.
Yeah, man, take your educated risks, like, do your homework, but you're not guaranteed success. But if you have consistency and you have the product and you're fully in on your product and you're doing all you can to improve yourself, your playability, your image, then people notice this stuff. So it's kind of cool to see how you can grow during a time where you can't play as many shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And just another spin-off of that, like, I've been realizing how important it is recently to have a good solid base, a good solid foundation if you're looking to start an actual career as a musician. I mean,
totally.
Your socials, like all that stuff, like if you're streaming music, you have to have everything connected. Everything's got to be easily accessible in one place.
Oh, totally, man. And it's not a matter of selling all the time. Like, that's one of the biggest pieces of advice I got. It's like, these people that are checking your band out or checking out your art, it's like, they want to know the personal side of you. They want to know what Andre Pettipaw likes to eat at 4 a.m. They want to know, you know what I mean? They're like,
yeah.
they want to know what makes you quirk, what makes your things go. And it's like, that's when I started to realize, okay, they're here for the person and they're also here for the music. So for me to keep people engaged, it's like, I got to show my Instagram stories. I want to go on Twitter. I want to say a funny thought. It's like, okay, this is kind of cool. You can really be really expressive in the right ways if you look at it like that.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that is so cool with modern technology, because I was doing a Facebook Live for 101.5 The Hawk a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And it was my first Facebook Live. And honestly, it's so cool just to have that avenue of, like, you can see the people typing live comments. You can answer them back. There's just so much you can do with it, right? So it's a cool...
So accessible, man.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And there's a lot of artists that are going through side stage.
Yeah,
and
I've heard about that recently.
Like ticketed events, which is like, okay, this might be what you have to do for the next while, but it's cool to see that people are adapting. And it's sucks sometimes that we can't go to these shows, but if we can adapt, we can find ways to stay financially afloat during this, then we'll make it through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man. It's just hard times all around.
Oh, definitely, man. With Christmas here, yeah, there's a lot of musicians selling their guitars and stuff to pay for people's Christmases. I've noticed so much more equipment on the buy and sell this year. I'm like, damn, this is... Yeah, it is, because you know why they're getting rid of it. No one's just wants to sell their guitars or their pedals, and you can see most times the prices are priced to sell, so it's like, shit, okay, they just need the money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those years, man. So on to a little bit of a happier note. What's what can we expect out of Andre Pettipaw in the coming couple months going into 2021?
So we have 5 shows to play over the holidays, and we're going to end off the year with these cool, fun, intimate shows. And then next month, finish recording a music video for Sympathy Card. And then we're going to be, like we were talking about live streams, I'm going to be hooking up with venues across Canada and possibly across the world and doing live streams from their pages to further promote the single. And then we've been working on the plan for the release of our following single and the release of the album a month after that. So we've got kind of our next 6 months planned, plan A and then plan B, because we're starting to book for festivals and stuff right now too as a plan A. But the plan B is obviously still put the material out, but find ways to connect with our listeners and see what people want to hear from us. And that's one of the most important things. It's like, what do you guys want to hear? So we're going to be going on a Facebook Live, just a chat in the next few weeks to see what our listeners want to hear from us. And that's going to be a big part of a lot of our decisions for the next half a year too. Like, we've got our base figured out. It's just like, what are this minor details? What do you guys want to hear from us? So that's kind of that's what's up next.
Cool, man. And that's really cool that you guys are willing and able to kind of just sit down with your fans and see what they're looking at and what interests them, because music is, it's all about connection, right? And obviously these people, if they're following you and they're into your music, like, you guys are connecting in some way, right? So
no, totally, man. And like, if you didn't have the people that are supporting you, you're playing to nobody. And it's, I think more artists have to be aware of that. If you don't have the people cheering you on, if you don't have the people in your corner, then you're basically in it for the wrong reasons and you're not going to be in it for long.
Yeah, exactly, man. Because like, I mean, it's your job to entertain them, but it's their job to be entertained, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's a great way to look at it.
So it's, the music industry, man, it's a lot of give and take from my point of view. It's a lot of, and like you said, knowing your audience and being able to read a room, even, man, it's a lot of personal connection as well as the entertaining and creative aspects of it.
Oh, totally, man. You're not going to go into a room with a bunch of people that are like 80 years old and go play a GNR song.
I mean, like, I might, but I don't know.
Yeah. But for me, like, I've been in playing in bars and stuff since like 16 years old, and I've been in rooms with people aging from 19 to 70 to 80. It's like, okay, what am I going to do to try and make this night okay for everybody? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's like a hired gig and like private parties and stuff. You're like, okay, well, I got to read the room. This is going to be a fun night of just trying to figure it out. And there's another thing that I never really looked at too much, being in the chameleon side. You have to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, man. It's you got to be a good
adapter.
Reading. Exactly, man. it's you got to keep that chameleon suit real close.
Oh, 100%. Like for the solo shows, I don't usually make a set list, because I'm like, I don't know. Half the time, you don't know what's going into the room. And if you're doing these gigs, like sometimes it's sit down supper gigs where people just want you to be there, but I'm not one for just being there. It's background music, and I'll voice that opinion to the venues and places, like just play something over the house music if you want someone like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I want people there to actually listen. It's like, we're here to communicate, and that's what the music is. It's communication between the people that are watching and the people that are performing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, dude. So I'm not going to keep you any longer. I just want to give a huge thank you to you, man, because honestly, I'm really excited to start this podcast series. And I think, like I said, man, that Nova Scotia has some, like, just some world-class talent. And I think it needs to be more in the spotlight. So thanks for helping me out with that goal.
It's great, man. I was psyched when you said you were starting this. And that's, like, this is the kind of thing that I've been really enjoying, watching people's podcasts and their live streams, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from you.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much. And likewise, I'm excited to see what 2021 brings, and I'll be keeping an eye out. Is there anybody that you want to give a shout out to, or anybody you want to say hi to while you're on the podcast?
I'm going to give a shout out. Who are we going to give a shout out to? Let's give a shout out to our radio team, RPM Promotion right now, who's been helping us out so much. And we're going to give a shout out to anybody who has bought a merch item or has come to a show or just been sharing our posts, liking our stuff. People have to realize how much that means to bands. A simple like and a simple share and a simple download, that goes such a long way to helping the growth.
Audrey, my man, you are a gentleman and a scholar.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been real, and I can't wait for hopefully in a little while's time we'll get to sit down again, and I'll be able to see what you're up to then.
That sounds like a plan, man.
Cheers, brother. Thank you so much. All right, what are you going to be playing us out with?
This song is called Read Between the Lines. It's the final track on our upcoming album, No Fools, No Fun. The recorded version is a little bit more intense, but we're going to try it like this. Strip it down. Go something like this. Life is beautiful, but it's never what it seems. One foot in front, now the other. Fall down a stumbling. Try to mask our problems. It isn't what you see. Seems that you have faltered. Self tripping, and you say that you're gonna listen, and you mean it for once this time. You gotta talk it out with reason, read between the lines. Mosquito eyes, you must look beyond and up closely. Nothing is set in stone, so keep on building. When you say that you're gonna listen, and you mean it for once this
And just like that, that's a wrap on episode one. So thank you everybody for listening. And I just want to thank you guys for your support and your continued support, because it means the world to me and these musicians like Andre that are going to be coming on and chatting with me. So if you want to go support Andre, you can find him on Instagram at AP and the Giants. You can find him on Facebook at Andre Pettypaw and the Giants. You can go to his website, and that's www.andrepettypawandthegiants.com, and go like his stuff, go follow his pages, you know, buy his merch, stream his music. Those are things that are all going to help out in the long run, and they're all things that are win-win, because you're getting some wicked music and he's getting more exposure. So if you guys like what you heard on the podcast today, you can go find me on Facebook at Nova Scotia Hidden Gems, a music podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Nova Scotia Hidden Gems. And if you want to send me a message or give me a suggestion on who you'd like to hear on the podcast, then send me an email at nshiddengems@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much, and stay tuned for the next episode with the amazingly talented Keith Mullins.